580. This is our telephone talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you here. This is the first Wednesday of the month, and it has been our habit, tradition, so on and on, to on the first Wednesday to talk about food and cooking. And we always have a good time with these programs. And generally, the guest is this man we have come to call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. And every month we take a particular topic, could be a dish. We've done things like chili and bread and pie and soup and a lot of other things. We've talked about the kinds of cooking that you find in different parts of the world, different parts of America. And we exchange recipes and cooking stories and tips. And sometimes, every once in a while, people have called in and said, look, I'm trying to make this particular thing and I'm having a problem. What do you think I'm doing wrong? So we always have a good time. And this time round, his thought was this: since we are coming up to the holidays and some folks like to give gifts, maybe there is something that you make, a homemade item that comes from the kitchen that you give as a gift that for you is a tradition. It's part of what you do for the holidays. And chances are people who receive these gifts appreciate them a lot because it has that personal touch. And maybe it's just something that you can't go right out and buy. So that's what we're interested in. We'd like to hear, what are you making gifts in your kitchen that you will be giving for the holiday? And if so, maybe you would share a recipe with us or some kind of story related to that. So that's the deal. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. Just one more thing I got to do here. Focus 580, this very show, made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods, Cards and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Arts Gallery, and Vintage Street Suites. They're all housed in the same building in downtown Monticello. Welcome.
Yes, indeed.
Glad to have you here.
Yes. Well, it's that time of the month again, and it's that time of the year again. So
so this sort of came out. I know last time you were here, you were thinking, well, we'd like to do something holiday-related, but something different than the shows that we've done in the past. And so your bit of inspiration was, well, surely there must be people who are making food gifts, and we'd like to hear about it.
Well, the truth of the matter was I was wanting to make one myself, and I thought, why waste a good chance to talk about it? Yes, because a lot of people do exchange gifts from the kitchen. In fact, there is a book made called Gifts from the Kitchen or something to that effect. I haven't read it, but I have seen it in bookstores, and I just sort of compile my own recipes of things to make. And there is one sitting between us now.
Yes, you're very generous. You brought in some homemade mustard.
A mustard that I learned to make in England. And it's very much like that coarse-ground French mustard. It has yellow mustard seeds and brown mustard seeds. And then it's mixed with, this one is mixed with white wine vinegar. Mm-hmm. And set overnight and then ground up and lots of good things put in it, which sort of amazed me. There's allspice and ginger and cinnamon and a lot of tarragon and green peppercorns and a jar of honey. That ought to do it, hadn't it?
I'd say I'm not sure what else it could possibly need.
Well, the only thing is don't go home and eat it for lunch.
Oh, okay.
It's brand new. It wants to rest at least 6 months.
All right.
And it can either rest outside or in the refrigerator, whichever way you want. There's generally an idea that maybe you need to keep it in a refrigerator. One of the mustards used to have on it, to keep me hot, keep me cool. And so you just don't leave it out or it'll dry up. This is not sealed, but it doesn't need to be sealed. This is the way they did it in Lancashire, so. Put a little piece of wrap paper, I think greaseproof paper was the word, and then screw a lid onto it, and there it is, folks.
Well, thanks very much. Well, so, when July rolls around, we'll
It'll be good. Of course, I would sneak a few bites before that, but anyway, it'll be better. And in fact, that would be kind of interesting because you'd see how it mellows over that period of time.
Well,
gets together.
Thank you very much.
Sure,
that's very kind.
Well,
we have a couple of people ready to talk.
Good.
Let's do that. We'll start out here in Downs in line number 4. Hello.
Hi. I have a couple of really quick, easy gift things.
Great.
One is a raspberry mint honey.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And you combine. You need 32 ounces of honey.
32 total. Ounces, yes.
You combine 16 ounces of that with a package of frozen raspberries.
Frozen raspberries.
And two packages of fresh mint.
And mint, mm-hmm.
And you heat those until the honey simmers, and then turn it down to the lowest possible simmer.
Mm-hmm.
And cook for 10 minutes.
Oh, that's quick.
Strain it out. Add another 16 ounces of honey. You'll have to really press it.
Oh, yes.
You know, through a strainer. You want the pulp, but not the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it in clean jars.
Now, does this have to be? This isn't sealed, then, is it?
No.
So it will be, and you could keep it in the refrigerator too. Couldn't
I keep
you?
It just on the shelf.
Of course, with honey, that is a preservative.
Right.
So you don't need to seal that off.
I've never sealed it. I've never kept it in the refrigerator.
Well, how long do you keep it around the house?
6 months.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'd have mine all eaten.
Well,
after the first week. That sounds very good. A raspberry honey.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see that as and mint. Raspberry and mint and honey.
So how do you like to use that?
What's I'm not big on fruited meats and things.
Oh, I am. I had it on roast lamb in my mind.
But I just put it on toast.
Well, that's very good.
Very unimaginative, but I love it on toast.
Well, that's a good combination, and it's so quick and easy to do.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. You had another one, didn't you? Yes.
A minted marble bark.
I see.
Candy. A cup of crushed peppermint candies.
Peppermint candies, yes.
Uh-huh. Crush them up. 3/4 pound of good quality white chocolate.
White chocolate.
Glint or, you know, something mm-hmm. that really has the cocoa butter in it, not just white stuff, and 1/2 pound of bittersweet chocolate.
Oh.
Both the chocolates should be finely chopped.
Chop them up, uh-huh.
Melt them individually.
Chop and then melt individually, yes.
And then put 1/2 of the peppermint into each one.
Oh, uh-huh.
Make yourself a baking sheet lined with foil.
All right.
And then pour out the white chocolate into 3 long strips, each about 2 mm-hmm. inches wide and 2 inches apart.
2 inches and by 2 inches apart. Mm-hmm.
And then put the bittersweet chocolate in 3 strips next to the white chocolate.
Oh.
And then you draw a knife through it to marble it.
Oh, that's what you mean by marble. Oh,
uh-huh.
Yes, yes.
And then I usually actually do it on parchment, but hold down the foil of the parchment and shake it to kind of level it off a little bit and tap it down a couple of times
uh-huh.
to get the bubbles out and refrigerate it until it's hardened. And then you break it up into pieces.
And then it's broken into pieces. I see. So
it's beautiful. It's a great thing to take, like, to work or something because it's so easy to make and it's beautiful.
Well, again, that's very easy, and all the tastes are right there, the peppermint and the chocolate and the 2 colors. That's nice. Well, that's good. Thank you very much. It's exactly what I'm looking for.
Fun, easy things.
Yes, it is.
Well,
I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Okay.
We're talking this morning in this part of Focus 580 with the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He stops by here once a month, always on the first Wednesday, and we do these shows about cooking. And his thought was, as we are coming to the holidays, perhaps there's something that you make in the kitchen that you give as a gift, a food gift. If so, maybe you'd like to tell us about it, maybe share the recipe. Those were great because they're easy, and I would think you wouldn't have to be a highly skilled cook or even really have a lot of time to make something like
that.
No,
those are very good, both those recipes.
So if you have something to share with us, we'd be happy to hear from you, and then you can share it with everybody else.
Good.
333-WILL or 9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And here's another caller. This is Aurora, line number 1. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Good morning.
Yes, I wanted to wish everybody, all my unseen friends on WILL, a Merry Christmas and a good New Year.
That's good. Thank you.
Maybe we'll start off with a president, maybe. I wanted to say my daughter has started a gift, which I think is so great, and it incorporates what I have been wanting to do but didn't do, and she's going to do it all at once.
Oh, good.
She's asked all the family members to give her, by December 1st, their favorite recipes.
Yes.
And then she's going to compile it in a book form and give it to each family member. And I'm kind of tickled about it because I wanted to give somebody my Hungarian goulash recipe.
Oh, yes.
I just didn't think of giving recipe cards, you know, to each. This way it's compiled and it's in a book form. And she asked to write something about the recipe. And I just thought it was such a neat idea. So I went way back, and I got recipes from I put in two recipes that we used to make during the Depression.
Yes.
And I put those in and labeled them, you know, the Depression recipes. And then I put in things like every Monday I made hamburger pie because it was an easy thing to do.
Oh.
So I'm going to put something down about it being made Monday wash day, etc. And the kids remember that. And then my mother, God bless her, is still with us, and I'm going to put in some of her recipes.
Oh, good for you.
She's 105, November 19th, and then the other thing I've decided to put in family friends recipes. I have a carrot cake from an old friend of mine, and so I'm going to put her recipe in. And then all the favorite recipes in the family, like spritz cookies,
uh-huh,
and jelly tarts and Lebkuchen. And I just think it will be very nice for them to have all at once the recipes.
Well, it is. And, you know, we have just done this in my family this year, too, and we're giving our recipe book out at Christmas time.
What are you calling yours?
Oh, I have no idea. I let my niece take care of all that. I just send in recipes and more recipes and more recipes. But the whole, it is related to the family, so it'll probably be just the name of the family's recipe book is what it is.
And let me tell you.
Yes.
That I am putting in one of your recipes.
Oh, good for you.
I'm putting in your Herbes de Provence.
Oh, yes.
Because you can't get that in recipe books.
No, you cannot. No, you cannot. That's weird, because if you do, it's probably another kind or whatever it is. This one, as I told you, I dug it out from examining things in Provence. I chose the one I wanted. You're right. That is not in a book.
And I just thought it was great, and I might not throw this out the right way. Caponata?
Yes, caponata.
Oh, I just love that.
Isn't that good?
Oh, it's just delicious.
And is that the recipe that I gave you?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, that's the gypsy caponata.
So I just thought that if, like, well, I find out that you are doing the same thing.
We have just done that for this year. I'm anxious to see the book. I know it's done because my niece has called me and told me.
And the other thing, of course, my mother's recipes will all be Slovak.
Oh, yes.
You know, Polishenki, thin pancakes.
Oh,
and
great.
That kind
uh-huh
of thing. So that would be what's going on here, and thank you for a great year of cooking.
Well, that's good. Thank you very much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay. That's a great thing to be able to do. And I like that because the idea of making those traditions available to other members, you know, this pyramid of starting with the great grandmother, the mm-hmm pyramid going out gets bigger and bigger, and they don't have that relationship. And to make a book of those and to keep that around and keep that in the family is a good thing.
Yeah, because I'm sure there are many, many times in families, people, you know, there was something that somebody made, grandmother, aunt, mom, something that you had, and you one day you say, How did she do that? What
yes
was that recipe?
Yes.
How could we, you know, you'd really want to have it, but if they're not around anymore, you can't ask them. So this would that would be a great way to preserve those things so that later you could continue to make it and have the recipe and think about that person. But
that's exactly the function of this book. The way we're using it is exactly that. Because and that was the reason. Well, there are so many people now, and there's so many recipes that we've got, and they all are various segments of the family. We all enjoy them. So that's where it came from.
Yeah. I actually did a couple of years ago give Herbe de Provence that was that
recipe. You?
And it's such a great thing because if you go out and buy commercially packaged Herbe de Provence, it can be really expensive. But if you then just go down and buy your herbs in bulk, they cost almost nothing.
That's true.
And we made up big batches and I gave it to people and I would give them this big jar and I'd say, you know, this is about $200,000 worth of Herbe de Provence here. So appreciate that fact. And they may still, I don't know, they were very generous, so they may still be using it. I don't know.
Well,
but that was a good thing.
It's a good thing to have.
Well, and we'd be happy, again, to have other recipes, or you want to tell us about your holiday cooking plans, that's fine. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. Now, just a question occurred to me, just going back to one of the recipes that the caller from Downs gave. And this is just something that I've never been really quite sure about. White chocolate. I read someplace that white chocolate isn't really chocolate. Now, is that right, or is it that some things that say they're white chocolate aren't really chocolate? Or is it that there's something in chocolate that white chocolate doesn't have, so it's sort of chocolate?
I'm trying to think. I believe Thelma will say I'm making this up. I believe that what you're talking about is don't confuse cocoa with chocolate. See, chocolate is something else that is made from cocoa. So all of, in fact, chocolate has not been with us more than maybe 100, 150 years total. It was invented in, and it was invented in Switzerland, and that's why Nestle's is headquartered in Switzerland. I think it was Nestle's that invented, and there were one or two ways of separating things from things, and that's what it was. And it has to do with a cocoa butter or an oil content, and then the flavor comes from someplace else. So I think the white chocolate is not cocoa based, is what is probably being said when they say it's not chocolate. But it's all the others. If they'd put ground cocoa in it, it would be brown, and then it would be called chocolate. Okay. So I think it's all the stuff except one or two things. But we treat it the same, and it has that newfound possibility of hardening into something. See, that's not very old. All of that's not very old at all.
All right. We have several callers here. We have somebody on a car phone. We'll get right to them here. Line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Since you've mentioned at least twice the recipe or the for the Herbe de Provence, I was wondering if you could share it with us.
Oh, dear.
I don't have it.
I know this always happens.
This always happens, and I used to carry it around in my purse, and I think I may still carry it in the purse. I tell you what I will do. I will sit here. I know the number of things, and I know the initials they start with. I'll write it down, and before the end of the show, I will indeed somehow manage to get it put out. We may have it in the archives here, but that would take a while to get. Or I tell you what. This would be easier. Why don't you call into the radio station sometime during the week, and it will have been found, or I will have made it, and it will be here. I think it would be too much of a rush to try to think it up at this moment. Oh, there it goes.
How many things are there?
I think there are eight.
Okay, we'll see what we can do.
We'll see what we can do. Any of those things, I'll try to get it done before the end of the show.
If not, though, I could call the office.
Yes, call the office. And then somebody will go through the effort of trying to find it in our archives.
333-0850, the regular business number, because I'm sure we do have that.
Okay, I'll call next week since I'm almost at my destination.
Okay, good.
And have a happy holiday.
Well,
yes,
thank you.
And your information regarding the white chocolate, yes, you're absolutely correct. It does not contain cocoa butter. There are a lot of stabilizers and a lot of diglycerides and triglycerides for fat sources that are added to it. but it is not really truly a, it's not a true chocolate.
Not, because it doesn't have cocoa in it. Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, well, good.
Well, thank you again.
Yes,
all
bye-bye.
Right,
thank you
bye-bye
for the call. Okay, now here, is this it? We're, how many of the things that we were saying there?
Well,
in there?
I'd have, go
One,
ahead.
One, two, three, four, five. Lavender.
Yes.
Savory.
Yes.
Summer savory.
Summer savory.
Thyme.
Thyme.
Rosemary.
Rosemary.
Bay.
Bay.
Basil.
Basil.
Marjoram.
Marjoram.
We're leaving something out?
Tarragon.
No, it, no.
There's no tarragon in it?
I don't think so.
Anise seeds.
Is that what it
yes.
is? Is that what it is?
Yes. And I'm thinking that maybe what was the second one you gave or third one?
Lavender, savory,
yes. Yes.
Thyme, rosemary, bay, basil, marjoram.
And anise.
And anise?
Yes.
Huh, okay.
I know that's in it.
All right.
How many is that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's eight.
Eight. That's it.
Okay.
That's
well,
it.
We're thinking that that's it then. So for those of you keeping score at home, well, of course,
yep.
The thing about Herbe de Provence is that are there some things that are not optional and some things that are in every Herbe de Provence are there, and then some other things that if you
that are not there at all.
Want to,
one of the things that it is not there is oregano.
Right.
There's
okay,
never
right,
oregano.
Never oregano.
There, but there is marjoram.
Right.
So I mean, so that becomes the yeah. And I thought tarragon was in it, but maybe it
I
isn't.
I think so. And lavender is something that
lavender
is not
was a new
often...
one. No, and that is really no. in the southern part of Provence that I found the lavender, and that's where the big lavender fields around Gord are, and in the Cistercian Abbey here were all these lavender fields. I remember them quite well because I got stung by a bee in the lavender, but it was beautiful.
All right. Well, we have a number of other callers.
Well,
and
good.
Well, let's continue. The next person up in line here is in Farmer City and line number 4. Hello.
Yes. Good
Hi.
Morning.
Yeah.
This is a recipe I inherited from my wife's family. Her great-grandmother ran Heininger's Tavern in Henry, Illinois.
Yes.
And this was a favorite there, I understand. It's bourbon balls.
Bourbon balls, oh yes.
And it's very easy. You take 3 cups of finely ground vanilla wafers, which mm-hmm. is 1 12-ounce box.
Mm-hmm.
1 cup of powdered sugar.
Powdered sugar, yes.
And 1.5 tablespoons of cocoa.
1.5 tablespoons of cocoa, yes.
1.5 cups of ground walnuts.
Okay.
3 tablespoons of white corn syrup.
3 teas of white corn syrup.
And then 2/3 of a cup of cheap bourbon whiskey.
And you drank the other third?
Yes.
Yes.
Then you just mix the whole thing by hand thoroughly. And I found that it helps if you cover it and just let it stand for...
It would want to meld, yes, because you've got some dry things and some wet things, and let it rest and kind of absorb, yes.
And not being a cook, I took a couple of batches to learn that, but then it gets nice and firm, and then you just roll them up to an appropriate size in your hand and roll them in powdered sugar and then put them in a sealed container and keep them tightly sealed, and people will beat down your door begging you to make it year after year.
Oh, yes.
I found out.
Let me give you a variation on the last of it. Instead of the powdered sugar, roll it in some more of the cocoa. So some of them are dark brown and some of them are white. And so that would be kind of an easy thing to do.
I'll try that this year.
And I do have a question of how is it that you, if you've got this big mass and lump in the bottom of a pan, how do you decide how much to dig out and how do you dig it out?
To roll the
to
ball?
make it into a ball, yes.
Oh, just grab a little handful.
So you do it with your fingers.
Yeah, just with
fingers. Okay.
Might put on rubber gloves.
Well, no. Some people like to scrape it up with a fork, which is rather peculiar, but that's very much like making truffles. You scrape it up with a fork, or whether you take a spoon or a small dip. I was wondering because it is a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, I'm no professional.
Well,
I'm just an old pig farmer, so I get in there with my hand.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Bourbon balls, right, yes, indeed.
Thanks for the call. Let's.
That's what vanilla wafers.
We're about at a midpoint here. Maybe I'll just introduce again our guest. If you don't know the man, he's the man we call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, once a month, always on the first Wednesday at 10 o'clock. We do this program. We talk about cooking. We always have a good time. We exchange stories and recipes and cooking tips. And his thought was, as we are approaching the holidays, maybe there is a homemade food item that you like to make up in your kitchen and give as a gift. So maybe you might share the recipe. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Let's see, where am I going to go next? To, I think, line number two, and that would be Clark County. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Doyle,
yes.
I am certainly no cook, so I don't have a recipe, but I have a question that's been plaguing my family for a few years.
Okay.
And perhaps you or someone on the air...
Someone will know it, yes.
...can tell me. When I was very small, and I'm 65 now, my German grandmother and her German widow friends who lived around her made... at Christmas time, something called Meerbeutel. I have no idea how to spell it, but I remember the pronunciation was Meerbeutel, and it was a yellow, pasty kind of food that at that time I thought was terrific. Maybe I wouldn't like it now, but when I was 6 years old, I loved it.
Was it a sweet or a savory or what?
No, it was sweet.
It was a sweet.
Yep.
And so...
It was kind of like a pudding, as I recall.
Oh.
And no one that I can find knows what we're talking about.
And in what part of the country was this?
She came from the Holstein-Schleswig area in northern Germany.
Yes, but where in America?
Here?
Yes.
In Douglas County.
Oh, so it could be an Illinois adaptation or something like that.
It could well be.
I've never heard that word. I don't know it. I'm not fond of that, but I do have some German folk cookbooks lying around somewhere at home. I'll have to go look at it. And there's one of them from over near Quincy that I know that I got a book. But I don't know that, but if any listener understands Meerbeutel, then I would like to know about that myself.
Yeah,
so keep listening, because maybe somebody will tell us.
As I say, I'm no cook, but I'm always listening to WILL when I'm on the in the car. And
oh, yes.
So I hear you very often.
Oh, well, good. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go on here to line number three, and that would be back in Downs again. Same caller?
Yes. I want to talk about white chocolate.
Yes. I thought perhaps you might have the answer.
White chocolate has cocoa butter, milk solids, and sugar. And you're right, Doyle, no cocoa.
No cocoa.
But the distinction here is between that stuff that's sold as almond bark or, you know, in the stores that's white and looks like chocolate. That has all kinds of stuff in it and very little, if any, cocoa butter.
Oh, I see.
That's fake stuff.
That's the major difference, yes.
Right. And
what
you want to do is get a brand name chocolate's white chocolate. I think that even Baker's is not, you know, if you buy that, it has very little cocoa butter in it.
So look for a high content of cocoa butter.
Right.
I thought it was something like that, but that's it. Oh, well, good. Thank you very much. Now we know.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate you sort of straightening me out on that, because it was one of these things that I thought I had heard one thing, but I wasn't really sure what we were talking about.
A lot of people say it's not really anything. it has no relationship to chocolate. That almond bark stuff, that's true. But I do have some, I have some Baker's white chocolate, and it does say cocoa butter in it.
Okay, so probably the moral is, if you're working with chocolate, particularly if you're cooking with chocolate, get the best stuff that you can.
And I always feel like I need to tell people, if they're working with chocolate, to be so careful about water.
Oh.
About chocolate seizing, and that's such a descriptive word for what it does.
Yes.
A drop of water in it, it does this thing called seizing.
It just goes clunk and turns into
it congeals.
Else. Yes, in a way, but it gets all grainy and lumpy, and you want to have to throw it away.
Well, you can add more liquid to it, but it will never then harden.
It'll never be what no because that
something, but you can bring it back by adding more liquid. but then you'll never get a hardened chocolate again.
Is that related to that problem of tempering chocolate?
You know, I don't know.
Which is tempering. Where you actually put in, or where actually, what's the word I want to say? Not candle wax, paraffin, where paraffin is put into chocolate so it will harden correctly. It's called tempering.
But it also has to do with keeping it at certain temperatures.
And a temperature.
For a period of time. It's very complex, and I can never remember.
That's why I would never.
I've never done it.
I've never wanted to get into candy making. It's like advanced chemistry. It's way
it
too
is
complicated.
Indeed. It
if
is
I'm
indeed.
Covering something with chocolate, then I put something over it so I don't have to worry about it.
Like good for
nuts
you.
Or cocoa.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Well, thank you for calling in.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see. And I think we're going to check in with Aurora here again. Because you think maybe we didn't get the Herbe de Provence right? Aurora, line one.
Oh, yes. Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Again. Yeah, the Herbes de Provence are to prepare or blend. Just a second, half a second, please.
Okay.
Prepare equal, combine equal portions of bay.
Bay.
Okay.
Basil.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Rosemary.
Uh-huh.
Thyme.
Yes.
Summer savory.
Uh-huh.
Fennel seed.
Fennel.
Oh, it's fennel, not anise. Well, they both taste
and
like, yes.
Marjoram.
Marjoram.
And lavender.
And lavender.
Blender. Use this herb mixture in the recipe given below or in any of your own favorites.
Okay. That's it. That's
so it's
it.
The it's sort of similar. It's the same kind of licorice-y sort of
that's
thing,
exactly
but it's a different.
I'm sorry, it is fennel.
Fennel. Okay.
Finocchio.
Well, good. Well, thanks for straightening
us out. Thank you for getting it correct. Now we got it. I'm going to keep this with me. I'm going to
at all times.
It's in my purse somewhere, but I never can find it, and then it comes up at odd times. So I'll put this back in. I'll always have it with me. Thank you very much.
I wanted to say also one of the cookies that I try to make are Leib Kuchen.
Oh yes.
I'm not going to give my recipe. I'm sure everybody has their favorite. But this recipe was given to me by a Russian immigrant about 25 years ago. Dear sweet woman, she'd always give it to us every Christmas, and my kids would go crazy about it. And I try to make them, and they never tasted like hers. And her language was so poor, her English, but she was so generous. And I tried to figure out why mine tasted better, less. Hers tasted better than
yes.
mine. Couldn't figure it out. Years went by, and I finally got enough English out of her. The trick is to make them 6 weeks before, put them in tins, and leave them to the weather, you know, so they get the heat and the cold and the heat and the cold. And the change of the weather, what would you call that it does to them? It
tempers, I suppose.
Well, temper is exactly it, yes.
And then I finally made some that tasted like hers, and I was so thrilled.
Oh, good for you.
So keep it up.
Yes, right. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You very much.
I'm glad America's still cooking.
I am too. Thanks a lot.
Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out. Now we should post that in studio.
I'm going to take that home with me.
So again, it's lavender, summer savory, thyme, rosemary, bay, basil, marjoram, and fennel. And the deal is that what you do is it's just equal parts of each thing. You just and the way I did it was just put them in have a sort of a little food processor.
Yes.
Put them in there and try to get it so that they're roughly the same consistency. You're not going to reduce them to a powder.
No, you don't quite want it powder, although you can buy some of this in powdered form. Yeah. You don't really want it into a powder. And I'll just give you one quick little hint, at least. This is what I do. I hope it doesn't make everybody upset. But when I go pick up the bay, I reach down in the bottom where all the broken bay leaves are, and I get all the powdered and broken, and it's much easier to chop it up that way than to start with new ones.
And I think also what I did with the bay, I think I took the time, and it took some time, to cut the stems
stem
out.
Well, it does make you difference.
So that it wasn't, because they didn't seem to... It looked like it had little sticks in there if you didn't do that. But I suppose it wouldn't hurt you to eat that.
It's true. I think about that's why I make a special effort of doing something to the bay so it's those shapes are gone.
Yeah. Okay. We go next to Oak Forest and line number 4. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I tuned in a little late today, but I was telling you about the Herbes de Provence.
Yes.
Just brought me some from France as a gift, and I was calling to see how to use it, but I'll tell you what it says on mine.
Yes.
Only 4 ingredients, and the first
four
is S-A-R-I-E-T-T-E, whatever that is in French.
Then
R-O-M-A-R-I-N.
I think that's rosemary. Rosmarinus, yes.
Yeah. And then marjolaine and thyme.
And thyme. Spell the first one again.
S-A-R-I-E-T-T-E.
That might be the savory. That might be the summer savory.
Well, my question is,
yes.
I do cook with herbs and stuff, but I have no idea what kind of recipes you use.
Well, I'll tell you, I make quantities of this and have it lying around the kitchen. I do indeed. And instead of being so specific as, oh, I must put oregano in this and I'll put some rosemary and stuff, I just grab the Herbe de Provence, anything that wants to have just a little bit of kick to it. It isn't a specialty herb. It is a very complex taste. And when you're wanting to cook with herbs, if you don't want a specific one taste only, there are some things where I would use only rosemary and I don't want other things with it. And there are some things where I use oregano and thyme only in meatloafs and things like that. But if I have a burst of inspiration, I'll just put Herbe de Provence in it, because if it's there, it has all those things in it. And what it is a very complex softening of all of these tastes. And so I would use it wherever you think that more than one or two tastes would come in and something a little more complex. I would use it in meatloaves. I would use it in stews and soups and even dressings. You could make a salad dressing, a vinaigrette, and put Herbe de Provence in it, and then the rest of the oil and vinegar and such, and mix that up, in a jar. So it all mixes together. Don't be hesitant in using it in a lot of creative places that these complex tastes might be appreciated. So I just... Yeah, and when I'm out, I go back to whatever I've got until I get some more. So I don't really have it isn't a one-only or a two-only dish kind of thing, but I just put it in a lot of things.
Now, could you also use it like take French bread and spread olive oil on it and then...
Oh, yes. Oh, my, yes. And I'll tell you, you'll scream when you hit the fennel and the lavender. You say, where did that come from? It is so good.
Except mine doesn't have it.
Well, go get some fennel and some lavender.
Okay.
You'll like that. That would be good to put it on a focacci or even bread with olive oil, maybe a tomato.
Yeah.
And then bake that, toast it, bake it. That would be good. Yes, that would work quite fine.
Okay, thanks mm-hmm. a lot.
Yes.
Okay. I think for me that those flavors pair really well with other really Mediterranean kind of tastes, tomatoes, olives,
goat
garlic.
Goat cheese wrapped, a goat cheese that you've rolled in Herbe de Provence and then put in some oil for a couple of days so that you have a little hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah. It's really chicken was made for this stuff, or it was made for chicken.
Oh, yes.
I think with roast bird, it goes real well.
Well, but again, there is, yes, it goes with the things you want the complex taste in. And there isn't a one only thing. It was just kind of a tradition that this is the way it's used. It's sort of funny. There is another term called the air of Provence, the air, the perfume in the air that you in Provence. Well, it comes from these herbs, and they're all growing wild at your feet, all over the place. And you're right out in the top of a mountain, and here is all this gorse and yellow. And you look down on another provincial town, and in fact, we. Somewhere outside of Mont Ventoux, and we're looking down and stopped in the car and got out and we're tromping around and said, oh, smell that. And we were tromping all over marjoram and thyme and rosemary were all at our feet, and we were, and it wasn't anybody's, you know, it was the world's. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a field of anything, and so that is also a great part of that romance.
Yeah. Well, we have about 10 minutes left here in the show. Great. With Doyle Moore. If you have questions, comments, cooking tips, recipes, we did sort of start out talking about what things you might be making to give as gifts, holiday gifts from the kitchen. Excuse me. That's sort of the topic, and maybe you have a recipe or something else you'd like to share with us. You can give us a call. 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana folks. But no matter where you are, if it would be a long-distance call, use the toll-free line. That's 800-222-9455. 333-WILL. And toll-free, 800-222-WILL. You're paging through a book.
I'm paging through my book here. I'm looking. I want to give my recipe for the mustard. There's somebody on the phone right there.
I'll find somebody else lined up. Okay. So if you were here listening at the beginning, Doyle was nice enough to bring us in some mustard that he made, and he's going to get a recipe.
Let's talk to somebody, and then I'll give. Save me some time.
I'm not sure we have the caller ready to go yet, or maybe even the caller doesn't want to go. Let me give the telephone. Okay, no, this person doesn't want to go on the air.
Oh, all right.
Go ahead.
Then I will give my grainy mustard recipe. You get 2 cups of yellow mustard seed, 1 cup of black mustard seed, and you can buy those either bulk or in packets. But get that quantity, 2 to 1, 2 cups and 1 cup. And then my problem is what I have in the recipe never seems to be enough. 24 ounces of white wine vinegar, or it said to cover it by a half inch. Well, I did that, and it all soaks in, and I put more in, and it all soaks in. So the last time I did it, I used two 24-ounce cans of white wine vinegar, and I think I still didn't have enough. I would supplement that with either water or white wine. But you want it to be plenty moist. You let that set overnight. And then in the morning, you grind half of it. Now, you can either grind it in a mortar and pestle or in the Cuisinart, and it makes it it won't all break up, and it won't all get as fine as you think it should be, but you're only doing a half, or I actually like to do about 2/3 of it ground, and then mix the rest of it unground or unbroken or anything, and that gives a nice texture to it. Now, here are the things you have to add. 1 tablespoon of the Coleman dried mustard. Everyone says, well, if you're making mustard, why are you putting mustard in it? I don't know. It's what the English do. So it's 1 tablespoon of Coleman mustard, 1 tablespoon of ground ginger, the dried ground ginger. I'm sorry, 1 teaspoonful. Yes, 1 teaspoonful of ground ginger, 1 teaspoon of allspice, and 1 tablespoon of cinnamon, ground cinnamon. Then my recipe asked for 1/4 cup of dried tarragon, so I put in a whole cup because I love the tarragon taste in that. So that's the dried tarragon. And then I use a whole Honey Bear jar of honey, and that goes in. Now, the problem with peppercorns is sometimes they're hard to find. I had been buying the kind that are in a liquid, and then I just drain the liquid off or leave the liquid on because I still want a little more moisture in that. Pour the peppercorns in. But of the last 2 times I made it, I had to buy dry green peppercorns, and I have soaked them. One time I soaked them in the bourbon, and another time I soaked them in the vinegar. Anything to reconstitute them. Let that set overnight. And then, let's see, pulverize, add. Just add and mix everything together, and then at the end you put in about 1/3 cup of bourbon or more or whatever. It makes a nice mellowing agent to it. And stir that up pretty well, and it should be not moist, but you don't want it to be thick and lumpy. So get it a little bit thinner, and then just put it in jars and wait 6 months or however long you can
wait. However long you could stand.
And that is a recipe that I got in the northern part of England, and I enjoy making that and giving it away with, maybe a nice big salami or, a chunk of meat or cheese. a good Canadian cheddar cheese and this mustard and pickled onions for a plowman's lunch.
All right. We got one. I think we'll probably be able to get one more person here. In Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Yes, I was very interested in this recipe for bourbon balls, but it went by so fast I didn't get to copy it down.
Well, I can say it to you again. Did you get any of it copied?
Just a little bit.
How much time do we have?
We only got about 2 minutes.
I
tell you what, I'm going to give this to the girl in the front, and if you'll call back a little bit later today, it'll be translated and you can have it.
Yeah, I think we can do that. Let's also say we'll if people would like to have the mustard recipe.
Oh,
all
of the recipes will be translated.
Okay, we'll
yes.
try and get them written up. I can't promise
it'll be faster than me trying to say it.
But I can't promise that we might have it like today.
Oh no,
but
sometimes and
yes,
you mean it'll be on paper and we can write.
Yes,
it?
Yes. If you will drop us a postcard or a note and we'll have them made up on paper and we can send them out.
So we asked for the recipes from this.
From this show, from Focus 580,
yes.
From
the bourbon
December.
Balls and the mustard.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Thank you very much.
All
yes.
Right. Well, thank
Bye.
You. Well, okay, let's try and do one more here in Champaign, line two.
Yes, I was also wondering about the bourbon balls. I have the recipe written down,
yes.
But I need a substitute because my friend is allergic to the corn syrup. Is there anything else that you
now. What are they allergic to? I mean, what is it in the corn syrup that they're allergic to?
Any corn syrup product.
A corn syrup product. So it probably is the corn, do you think?
They have to have real maple sugar on it.
Right. Okay, so it's not the matter of sweet. There is a glycerin that you can buy at the cake decorating shops. And glycerin is called, in Japan, it's called water sugar, I know. And so what it is because the reason for using the corn syrup is so it does not solidify like sugar, and so you want something that would be a little sticky, and glycerin is exactly the answer because that's kind of almost what corn syrup ends up being. Those are often interchangeable.
And what about maple syrup?
Maple syrup isn't sticky enough.
Okay.
And it's the sticky quality you want. So if they would like some of the sweet of the maple syrup, add some of that. But do get glycerin. It's very heavy and dense, and it does what it's supposed to do, which is make this.
Where?
There are two or three places for getting cake decorating supplies here in town.
Okay.
So.
Artmark?
No. Darn. On University Avenue, Cake Cottage, I think it's called. I'm not sure. It's on University. And then the other place is around where Hop and Shop used to be. There is a cake decorating supply shop there.
Okay.
And I know they have it. The Art Mart might have it. You can call them. But I'm not certain that they have glycerin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank
Good
you
enough. Very much.
Well, is that then different from like Karo syrup?
Yeah. Well, Karo syrup is white corn syrup.
Oh, that, although
Unless
that is
you
made
get the
from
brown.
Corn. Okay.
Yeah, but they're both made. I have an idea. It's the corn that they're allergic
okay.
to that they can't have that.
All right. Well, we got to finish there because we've used the time.
Boy, did we have a lot of folks today.
We did.
There's going to be a lot of happy people at holiday time this year.
Well, thanks to the callers. We will, if you need to give us a few days, it may not be available right away, but we can send out the recipes if you'll drop us a line. And then in January, I think we figured it would be the third.
Third, yep.
Doyle will be back and we'll do this again. So thanks.
The new show of the millennium.
That's right. And it will truly be.
It will truly be the millennium.
We don't want to get into that. Doyle Moore, ladies and gentlemen.
Do we start with a recipe for 1,000-year eggs?
Yeah, we'll do that. The topic will be really old food.